In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The commandments of God are gracious invitations to be like Him. To our fallen nature, they are harsh, oppressive burdens. And that fallen nature continually chafes underneath the load. It thinks that God is unfair, heavy-handed, and unjust. He's trying to restrict our freedom. But to the new man, the commandments of God are a delight. They show us the path of holiness. They are not the way of salvation, but they show us how we live with one another here on this earth. And God promises that in that we will flourish. Today we take up the second commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. God's name is not simply a word, but it's His reputation. It's how He reveals Himself to the world. And the chief way that God reveals Himself to the world is through His actions. So even the names of God, Lord Almighty, Lord of Hosts, God Almighty, etc., all reveal something unique about God and how He deals with us fallen men. And of course, the name that is above every name is not Yahweh, but Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the greatest revelation of God because He clearly reveals the heart of God through His own actions. In Jesus, we have the Son of God who comes down, takes on our flesh so that He might bear our sins unto death. In Jesus, we see a loving Father who willingly sent His Son to take our place so we might also be called sons of God. In Jesus, we see a loving Holy Spirit who gives us faith in Jesus' name. Thus, the entire gospel is who God is. He is the God who saves. So the name of God is the salvation of men. God is not a lawgiver, but a savior. God is not a harsh taskmaster who demands, but He's a redeemer. God is not even a pushover who lets you do as you please. He is a justifier. He is just and holy so that there might be a real salvation based on His real historical work for us men and for our salvation. Thus, God encourages us to take up His name on our lips. Call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify Me. What a high honor and privilege God has given to us, fallen men. We are to constantly have the name of God on our lips and in our mouth so that God might be of constant benefit to us. By His name, He helps and defends us for body and soul. He protects us. By His name, He seeks to be a benefit to us and to rescue us from every danger to our souls and to our body. And remember, His name is the revelation in Jesus Christ. We can't deny this by simply quoting the science behind diseases or the fact that governments are there to protect us or we lock our doors. We don't only see the works of God in the supernatural, but we find them in the natural order of the creation that He established. A death on a cross doesn't look supernatural. And yet there He is hanging in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous. So God even chooses to work through the natural order of things so that He might bless us. He has never promised a miracle, but He has promised to be a constant benefit to us. So when we are healed, with or without medication, when we are protected, with or without police officers, we thank and praise the God who established that order of creation. So freely call upon Him in the day of trouble, whether that trouble is of body or of soul. We believe his promise, take up his name, and cry out in the name of Christ. Jesus says that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray according to the salvation that Jesus won for us. God is not a genie who simply gives us whatever our heart's whim desires. He is a gracious and merciful God who provides all that we need for salvation. His goal is not simply that we are happy and content, but that we find contentment in what he has given. So use his name boldly. Understand that if he doesn't specifically give you the exact thing that you have asked for, it's not because he has failed to hear, but it's simply because it doesn't align with your salvation in Jesus. God has greater things planned for you, that you would cry out to him again and again and again, recognizing that in Jesus, his will is being done for you. He proved himself worthy of this trust on Calvary, and he showed himself capable of answering your every prayer at Easter. He's not waiting for a specific time or a place for you to fold your hands the right way or to be in the right location. He answers you not because you prayed, but because he promises to hear. So we take up his name and our prayers on our lips, because our faith is moved by his gracious invitation to call upon him. But like the first commandment, this second commandment is also dragged around throughout the world and abused. God's name is used to support falsehood. The greatest abuse of God's name is found in spiritual things. False doctrine is nothing more than telling lies about God and then using God's name to do it. Jesus warned the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees. That leaven was their false teaching. In the name of God, they deceived. In the name of God, they taught the teachings of men. In the name of God, they led people to work righteousness and not to the Holy Scriptures. Men are constantly trying to make God more loving, more palatable to this culture. Men are constantly trying to make God more gracious and merciful than what he has revealed in his word. The problem is, every time man does that, he actually makes God less loving, less gracious, less merciful, and more harsh, more distant even. No longer does God hear prayer because he has promised in his Son, but because I folded my hands the right way, and because I did the right thing, and because my heart was right. False teaching diminishes God and exalts men. The same thing happens in the world. It's not just in spiritual matters that God's name is desecrated, but any contract that is signed is a contract that God stands as witness. So to swear, the difference between swearing and cursing, to swear is to call God as your witness. A curse is to desire someone to go to hell. There's a distinction. So anytime that contract is signed, God is the one who is standing as witness. It is a form of swearing or taking an oath, a promise to do something and to be a benefit to the other one who has signed. That is true of countries and treaties. That is true of businesses. That is true even of marriages, or one takes a political office. All of these things are done under God, whether the individual realizes it or not. And now you see how little men fear God and how little they love God. Breaking contracts or finding the loophole because now I finally have the upper hand is considered shrewd business practice. They have to get what is due them instead of faithfully carrying out the standards of their contract. It is little wonder that God allows this world to continue. Anytime that we utter the words, I swear or I promise, we are doing the same thing, calling God as our witness. I already mentioned marriage and political office, and I might as well include those who are pastors. All take an oath. So not every swear, not every oath is wrong. God himself swore to Abraham. He swore before Caiaphas, and Moses wrote, "By God's name you shall swear." But someone else asks, who is in authority, someone else asks you to take that oath for the benefit of someone else, not for your own. And we look at how God's name is treated now, even in our lives. Marriages are not happy because neither partner wants to fulfill their duty. Divorce is rampant. Governments are corrupt. And all of this is in the name of God. Lying and deceiving is bad enough, but it's 10 times worse when the name of God is used to cover up that lie. As we often hear, well, if it leads to divorce, then God will. As God wills. Certainly, God will not let this abuse of his name go on forever. Sin always leads to death, as we heard in the Old Testament reading. To our modern ears, it seems a bit harsh and crude that someone would be stoned for simply speaking a word. But Israel did physically what we do spiritually. The blasphemer must die. His sinful flesh must be killed so that he might be saved on the day of the Lord. We do that not physically with stones, but we do that spiritually through excommunication. When an individual refuses to repent of his sin, even if it be of blasphemy, God's name is not to be mocked. Rather, let us love the name of our triune God. With joy and gladness, let us take the name of Jesus upon our lips and firmly believe that God will care for our body and our soul through Jesus. It is this name of Jesus that confuses the devil, subdues the world, and puts down our flesh. So how beautiful is the morning prayer of a father who continues to pray for his children and for the work ahead of him, entrusting all that he has to his good and gracious Jesus. How lovely is the evening prayer of a mother, confident that Jesus loves her children far more than she ever could. Our confessions offer this encouragement. We should continue to cross ourselves when anything monstrous or terrible is seen or heard, and cry out to God for help. This isn't superstitious any more than folding your hands in prayer is superstitious. God doesn't hear an answer because you have the right posture or went through the right motions. But that doesn't mean the posture doesn't matter. It's meant to awaken faith in us that we have but one help and one name by which we are saved. And then let us say, in a moment of trouble, Lord, help us. And in need, Lord, have mercy. And when times of joy arise, thanks be to God. We must train ourselves to speak like Christians and to take the name of our Lord on our lips with joy and gladness, confident that he who has redeemed us is also present to deliver us. In this way, not only would the second commandment be kept, but also the first. We believe, therefore we speak. What resides in the heart spills over into our words. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.